Well, hello everyone. We're right at the top of the hour, and this is Lanny Mule Rath, and I am here with you this evening with my special guest, Natala Constantine, if you're wondering if you're on the right call. So let me check if Natala, are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Excellent. Okay. All right. And I assume everyone else can hear me on the line. Let me do a little bit here, some introductory information, and we'll proceed with the call. First, again, hello everyone. Welcome to the, I'm calling this the Two Plant Strong Women call. This is Lanny Mule Rath, the Plant Strong Fitness Expert from LannyMuleRath.com, and I'm also fitness expert for Dr. John McDougall's Health and Medical Center. I may have seen you there. A special welcome to our friends from Engine 2. We've got a whole fleet of people who are joining us tonight. And I want to thank you people at Engine 2 for being so warm and welcoming to me on the Q&A Tuesdays that we've got going on. I'm just having a ball with that. You've got great questions, and it's fun to be part of the team over there. So thank you for that. So tonight's call, this, I'm calling it also an encore presentation with yours truly, me, and my fellow Plant Strong Passionista. How's that for a term, Natala?
Right.
Passionista. From Engine2Diet.com and from Vegan Hope. So what, for those who were on the line tonight, who were on the call we did in November, it was right after Thanksgiving, and you know why Natala and I felt like we had to do another round before too much time went by, because there's just too much to talk about, too much information to share, too much reinforcement to give to let it go by any more time. So that's why we teamed up and decided let's go again. And I promise tonight's call will be just as packed with information and fun as the last. It'll have a little different format, and I'll explain that to you in a minute. So here's the plan for tonight's call. First, I have a couple of announcements. Then logistics about how the teleclass line and webcast work, and then we're going to go on to the program. And first, I'll introduce Natala and then myself. So remember, we've got three main topics tonight. They're all interrelated and overlapping, yet we would like to share insights about each of them. And these three topics are primarily how the big shift to Plant Strong happened for each of us. Number two, why calorie density plays such a huge role in your success with health and with weight. And number three, the psychology of weight loss and tips for how you too can master it. This can be done if it's felt like an impossible task for you. And I know not everyone on the call tonight probably is addressing a weight problem, although it is a commonality for many people who turn to a Plant Strong diet. It will help you so much with health concerns, and it will always help when it comes to weight concerns. So welcome to people of all shapes and sizes, whatever your aspirations, we've got something for you. So to back up, let me give you some announcements. Quick reminder, there is another teleclass webcast this week. It's on Thursday, December 29th. And my topic for Thursday's call is 25 of my top must-have tips for flipping the switch to Plant Strong in 2012. So this is the monthly training call that I have for my memberships, my Fit Dream Fusion, Inner Circle membership, and the Success Club. And many of those people are on the call tonight. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Having two calls this week is great. And if you're not yet a member of either of those, you can get all the information if you want at LannyMuleRath.com under my coaching drop-down menu. It's all there. And you'll find out about the monthly training calls there. So these are like on a month-to-month subscription basis, and it's pretty easy to figure out. Send me an email if you want at any time. But these calls are kind of like the central part of our meeting up each month to really reinforce, just like what we're doing on the call tonight with Natala and myself, giving information, giving reinforcement, and support. And I just love them. I just love teleclasses and webcasts. So getting on to logistics of the call first. Everyone on the phone lines has been muted right now, except for myself and Natala. So if you, the reason I've done this is because it helps keep background noise to a minimum. But if at any point during the call you want to ask a question of either myself or Natala, all you have to do is press star 2 on your phone. And this little, I have this little control panel in front of me, and your hand will come up, like you raised your hand. And when it's time to get to your question, then I'll unmute your line and ask you to go ahead with your question. So it's really easy and fun to bring questions live into the mix as well. And don't be shy about jumping in. Likewise, if you're on the webcast, I have another place here where I can look to find questions that are coming in via the webcast. So if you have a question, you know that you can type that in at any time. And that's how we do that. And it may not get answered right as you ask it, but what I'll do is move around through the question areas as I get a chance so I can meet your needs. So at this point in time, if I'm hoping that if someone can't hear our voices speaking, that you'll write in on the webcast or something. I see no one has made a comment like that, so things must be good. All right. Perfect. Also, technical difficulties, if at any point during the call I should get cut off, my line get dropped, or Natala gets dropped, don't go anywhere, don't go away, because we'll just call back in. And if you get cut off, you can just do the same. Sometimes this just happens on occasion, so just go with it and we'll all be good. Just call back in. So, and again, if at any point during the call, if you end up not being able to hear me, push star 2 or send a note so I can kind of troubleshoot from this end. Okay, that should take care of announcements and logistics. Let's get started. I want to start by introducing my guest first, and then I'll tell you a little bit more about my own story a little bit further into the call. So I'm going to start off with a few words about Natala and then turn it over to her to let her elaborate. Now, many of you have known Natala for a while. Many of you may be meeting her for the first time tonight. So let me tell you a little bit about her story. A few years ago, not too long ago, Natala was suffering from what she calls out-of-control diabetes, and she felt like she was at the end of her rope. She decided to take a friend's advice and look at, get this, food as medicine. Novel idea. So through a whole plant-based diet, she was able to take total control of her diabetes, lower her blood pressure, lower her cholesterol. Let's see. Oh, also that she had nerve damage from neuropathy, she was able to reverse that. Her hormone levels became balanced and, of course, control her diabetes numbers. And it was all within a short period of time. And when she tells us more of her story, she can tell us more about that. But she also has other interests, because we all know her as a food lady, but she's got lots of other interests. She's a photographer, a violinist, and she's quite the traveler. That's another thing we have in common. She and I both travel a lot, but she and her husband, Matt, travel a lot around the country, enjoy seeing new places and takes lots of pictures. And she has been working for the Engine 2 diet team part-time since August. So she's in charge of all the – I don't see how you can call this part-time, Natala. I see the work you do
really
on the blog.
Okay.
Yeah, and social media, you are a maniac. You're just so skilled at that. So she has quite an online presence. If you wonder what makes all that happen, guys, it's her. And she also works with the Whole Foods Immersions, with Engine 2 Immersions, and gives talks there, takes pictures, does all kinds of stuff. So, and the other thing, we should have Matt on the call. That'll be for next time, Natala. We'll have Matt
on the
call.
Yeah, we should have Matt on the
call. Yeah, because your husband has gone through this transformation himself as well. So let me catch a breath here, and I'm going to turn this over to you and ask you to kind of tell a little bit more, maybe fill in the blanks there, and then you can move right into that part on question number one about how the big shift to Plant Strong happened for you, because go.
Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the call, everybody, and I hope everybody is enjoying their holidays, and I'm guessing that some of you are maybe a little stressed out still, and maybe some of you even have family still in the house. So hopefully you're bunkered away somewhere, like in a locked bedroom or maybe in a bathroom or something. So welcome to everybody who's using this call to get away from craziness of the holidays
there
for just
go.
An hour. So I'm glad that you decided to take time out for yourself. You're important enough. So thanks for being here, and thanks, Lanny, again. I love what you're doing, and everyone should go on Lanny's call on Thursday, because I want to learn those things. So I feel like I'm constantly learning new stuff, so I'll probably be on the call on Thursday. So anyway, like Lanny said, and you know, a lot of I a lot of people have probably heard my story or parts of my story. But like Lanny said, a few years ago, I was just kind of a mess. Like, I mean, to be honest, like I was 200 pounds heavier than I am right now. My diabetes was like just totally out of control. I was on tons of insulin every day. 100, for people who know about diabetes, I was on 100 long-acting insulin at night, which is called Lantus, and I was on about 100 units of short-acting a day, so about 200 units of insulin a day. Mm-hmm. And if you know about diabetes and you know about insulin, you know that insulin is a growth hormone, and so trying to lose weight while taking a growth hormone, that much of it is really hard to do. Mm-hmm. So I was just a mess. I mean, I got to this point where the neuropathy in my legs got so bad that I got an infection, and the infection got so out of control that they thought they might have to partially amputate part of my leg. I was only 30 years old. Things were a mess, and things were just out of control in my life. My diabetes wasn't just out of control. My whole life was. I didn't really know what to do. And my solution at the time, before I learned about a plant-strong diet, was to kill myself. Like, that's what I thought. And that probably sounds really harsh, but that was the only thing that I could think that would end the suffering that I was going through in my life. Mm-hmm. So I got really depressed. I became someone I didn't like and that I didn't know, because I didn't want to continue my life as a sick person, and especially as young as I was. You know, like, I mean, it probably sounds terrible, but I always thought that getting diabetes and having all these health problems was something that happened when you were elderly, you know, and something that happened when, you know, you had lived out, you know, a lot of your life, you know, so it was okay if you were taking lots of medicine when you were 80, because, you know, you lived all these wonderful years of your life, but to have all these problems when I was 30, you know, and I was newly married. I was only married, like, I guess 5 years at that point. You know, we don't have any kids yet. We hadn't traveled, and it just kind of felt like I'd been given a death sentence.
Yeah, it's all over.
And I was just like, well, what's the point of living? Because I didn't want to live my life as an amputee. You know, I didn't want to live my life blind, because that was the other thing. I was having neuropathy issues in my eyes, which was causing vision problems. And every doctor told me it was, you know, like, I'd be lucky if I made it to, like, 40. And I was like, well, I don't want to live the last 10 years of my life, like, to, you know, this sick. And one of the worst...
Wait, it just really came up right up in your face. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was terrible. Like, there's nothing, you know, and it's so sad to me to watch other people who are struggling with diseases like diabetes, type 2 diabetes, I want to clarify that, type 2 diabetes, or even out of control, like obesity or heart disease or anything that's diet related. Because, like, it's now, looking back on it, it's such a simple solution. And if I had known earlier, I would have never, I would have never even thought twice about not changing my diet, because the amount of suffering I went through, like, that doesn't even compare to the amount of suffering that, you know, was giving up cheese, you know, like, and I thought that was pretty bad. Like,
that sounds ridiculous, you know? When you put it in a context like that. Gee.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I don't know if I told the story last time, but I'll tell this in a second, but on one of my worst days, I went out, of all things, I went to the gym because a friend of mine was teaching a water aerobics class, and this friend of mine happened to be, she's actually a raw foodist, but vegan, and, you know, very plant strong though. She knew I was really depressed, and she asked what was going on, and I told her, and she was the one who mentioned food is medicine, and I thought she was ridiculous. I thought I wanted to punch her because, I was just so mad that somebody would even suggest that something so complicated in my head, like the diabetes and the obesity and the heart disease and the whole thing, could be solved so easily. Like, you know, I was working with some of the top doctors in the nation, and, like, I kept thinking, I was like, well, if the answer is food, then my doctors will tell me, like, because that's their job, is to, you know, their oath that they take is to heal people, you know. And so, but on her suggestion, I read a couple of books. One was Dr. Neil Bernard's Program for Reversing Diabetes, And one was, of course, Engine 2, and I read a bunch of things, like China Study and some of McDougall's. McDougall is great, too. And anyway, so I found out about plant-based nutrition, and I thought, well, what the heck, I might as well give it a try because I've tried everything else. And, I mean, within a month, I was off my insulin. Like, and that was, you know, it was...
That's such a big jump for as sick as you were for a month.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I don't want to call it a miracle because it wasn't a miracle because it was, you know, it's totally what happened.
It was the result of the changes you made.
Yeah. So it wasn't an easy thing for me. It wasn't like, you know, I decided to do this and said, oh, this is gonna be easy, you know. And what I was gonna tell you before was that a couple of weeks into my change, like changing over, because I quit everything like right away because I didn't think I had I didn't have a choice to like ease into it or lean into it or anything.
Pretty desperate.
Yeah, it was a life or death like thing that I had to change. But about 2 weeks into my switch over to Plant Strong, I found myself in a parking lot of a shopping center that had a Quiznos, like a sub, you know, sandwich shop, and I really, really wanted a tuna melt. Like really bad, and so I was sitting in the parking lot, crying, like sobbing, because I wanted a tuna melt, and so I
called my
friend
of mine.
It was really pathetic looking back on it, because I mean, so I call a friend of mine, and she's very New York, and she's very, like, just kind of in your face, and I was like, her name is Grace, which doesn't really fit her, I guess. I told her, I said, Grace, I don't know what to do. I was like, I just really want this tuna melt. And she sobs. She goes, Natala, you almost lost your leg. I don't know. It was one of those moments in my life.
Did you snap out of it?
I did. I was like, I stopped crying, wiped away the tears, and I was like, okay, this needs to stop. Like, this is ridiculous now. Like, I'm seriously crying over tuna melt when I almost lost my leg and I wanted to like kill myself a couple of weeks ago, but I'm crying over a tuna melt. Like that's, you know, It was at that moment though that I realized one, the power of food addiction and just the mental shift that I would have to make, to become plant strong. So, I wanted to share that with you. I don't know if I'm sure,
you know,
there's
that's a treasure what
story.
She said to you, because that just shifted you into another gear. You had made a lot of changes. You were going along, but as we know, it just comes in layers and levels. And it's almost you know, when you were told that, the visual I got or the energy I got was like when you downshift to a new gear in a stick shift car. It's like, go to the next level.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. So, so what got me into a plant strong diet, not everybody on this call is in the same situation that I was in, where it is a life or death kind of moment for you, but. In truth, a lot of people are in a life or death situation and they don't know it, or they don't want to admit that to themselves. And I think I see that every day, and we get emails at Engine 2 a lot that are, you know, people who didn't know that they had heart disease and had a heart attack, or people who, you know, end up in the hospital with, you know, people they know in a diabetic coma because they didn't know they had diabetes and their blood sugar was 1500. And, you know, and so a lot of people, I think, sadly, are walking around kind of like ticking time bombs, and they don't know that they're as sick as they are. I kind of consider myself fortunate that I'm one of the people that knew how sick they were. Like, I knew how sick I was, and I knew that I was a ticking time bomb, you know. A lot of people, especially people who are my age, when they're 30, they don't think that they could possibly die of a heart attack, and they don't think they could possibly...
You don't think they're going to die. Period.
Well, and you don't think you're going to end up in the hospital in a diabetic coma, but sadly, and we get emails, you know, a lot that, I mean, very sadly that, you know, I got an email from, it was really sad, it was a few weeks ago from a wife who just switched over to a plant strong diet. 2 years ago, she lost her husband at 43 to a massive heart attack, and she told me that, you know, her husband constantly made fun of people who ate healthy, and, you know, he was one of these guys who did bacon-wrapped steaks and things like that, and you know, but she said he never thought, you know, that he would, you know, pass away and leave his, I think they had three children. She might even be on the call right now. They had three children. If she is, she can raise her hand and say something if she wants. But you know, and so people don't think that way. They don't think that, you know, that something that tragic could happen, you know, and but it can, and we see it all the time, and it's becoming younger and younger. I mean, we hear from people who are having strokes in their late 30s, you know, and we're hearing from parents who have children with type 2 diabetes when they're 10, you know, like it's yeah. not, you know, I mean, and I think, you know, I don't want to say that to scare anybody, and I don't want to say that to be like really overdramatic, but coming from where I've come from with my health, it can go from,
I think a little,
you know,
bit of
your health
can be a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and it can go from just a little bad to really bad really quick, mm. because when I tell people this all the time, a month before I was in the hospital, like in the emergency room because of my diabetes, when we first found out I had diabetes because my blood sugar was over 1,000, which is really, really bad if you don't know anything about diabetes.
Yeah.
A month before that, they told me that I was healthy on paper. That
oh.
I didn't have, yeah, I was overweight, but I was healthy on paper. So, like,
yeah.
I didn't, you know. So,
what's
I mean,
the disconnect
in one, here? Yeah, and so in one month, I go from being healthy on paper to being in the emergency room with I had acidosis, so my blood was turning acidic
yeah.
in 1 month. So, I mean, so that's, you know, and again, like I hate to use scare tactics, and it's totally not what that's supposed to be. But I want people to know that, like, if you have some semblance of health right now, like now is the time to change that. Don't wait until you're in the emergency room, like hoping that you make it through the night. You know, do it now
yeah.
while you have the choice. You know, while you have the choice yeah. and the ability to make that change without having to go through what I did for 5 years, you know.
Good advice. So your big shift kind of came in two stages. When you had your devastating moment, and then your friend said, well, let's try food.
Yes.
And that is probably
yeah.
the biggest turn change for you, and then you had different downshifts going forward from that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been
it's still an evolving process.
And, you know, and I tell people all the time, like, I mean, I still have about 100 pounds to lose, and I still... you know, I'm still learning, like, every day. Like, I don't, you know, I think that's probably the biggest thing is just you keep learning, and you keep making changes, and you keep moving towards health, like, every day, and making
yeah.
little tiny changes. And so, I mean, you probably are the same way, is that you're constantly making new adjustments and new changes in your life to become a healthier individual.
Yeah, and there's some things that you end up needing to relearn, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
yeah,
and, you know, I've been
the way.
To, yeah. Well, I think
yeah.
I've been to what I think it's 5 immersions I've been to, and I learn. I sit through all of the lectures every single time, and I learn something new.
Yes.
Every single immersion, and so I mean, you know, like it's and so it's not. I think it's a never ending process of learning and reiterating what you've already learned. So
yeah, how
yeah,
motivational.
So, Yeah. So that's my end of my story.
Yeah. Well, and before I go on and tell you a little bit of my history, but I wanted to address something that you just said about this woman and the 43-year-old guy who died of a massive heart attack. Was he 43? Is that what you said?
Yeah, 43, with 3 children.
You know, that is my argument for the people that say, you know, well, what I eat is my business. Well, no,
yeah.
it's not, because if your body falls apart, someone has to pick up the pieces, and it's going to be
yeah.
a relative, a loved one, your community. It's going to be devastating to someone. So I think that argument just makes no sense. You can't, no one eats
yeah.
alone.
yeah.
No, well, my history and experience are somewhat different from Natala's. So really, the results of embracing a plant-strong diet are no less miraculous to me. And I know you used the word miracle, but I don't apologize for that. I don't see miracle as being religious connected at all. To me, a miracle means something that I had a dream and a vision for what I wanted, and I kept looking for it, and I finally found it. So that's kind of how this diet came together for me. But the progression for me has been long, because I've been a vegetarian for, well, longer than Natala has been around, you guys.
Oh.
So that's kind of an interesting juxtaposition, a long time. And so for many of those years, even though I had my reasons for vegetarian, it was for health, it was for humanitarian reasons, it was for environmental reasons, all of those reasons, which are accelerated even more today, none of them have gone away. But my healthy vegetarian diet was then it was not what it is today. And the shifts that have happened for me as my diet has changed, no doubt many of those on the call have experienced as well. So when I first started out eating a vegetarian diet, and I did have a weight problem, I'm one of those people that has this genetic predisposition that I easily gain weight. And as we know, we can switch those genes on or off by our practices. And I was still eating dairy and oils. I wasn't eating eggs or animals or any of that. But as you know, the dairy and the oils can add a lot of empty calories and a lot of fat that can really cause problems with weight, let alone other health problems. So like I said, I'm one of those people with genetic code that can gain weight easily. So for years, I really tried to tweak my vegetarian diet to manage my weight problem as it was. And it wasn't, you know, kind of went up and down until finally my highest weight was like 189.5. I always like to say the 0.5. But and my vegetarian diet through that time went through lots of incarnations. So it's really, just so you know, it's really possible to pretty much do all the other diets that are out there with a vegetarian spin. Really, it is. I even tried Atkins. Try Atkins on a vegetarian diet. It's like tofu and lettuce, kind of like that. And, you know, I did calorie counting and gram counting, and all these were strategies that I tried, but they didn't work because they resulted in stored hunger, and it was a mental burnout. I thought there's got to be an easier way than this, counting and measuring and weighing and going crazy and not having success and being hungry at the same time. So after all those years of yo-yoing and trying to tweak this and that, I even had failed attempts at low-fat vegetarian dieting. So I played with the fat, but I didn't really, and I tried some attempts at a vegan diet, and I finally found that the formula that made it possible for me now to be down 50 pounds from that top weight, and that was like 13 years ago. So when I made some switches for increasing the nutrient density of my diet, I started to lose a lot of the weight, and then when I really tweaked it with going more plant strong and losing the dairy and the oils, that just sealed the deal. That made it really work well. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But that process of change that I went through has actually now become the foundation of my coaching, because it took the food, of course, but it also took the attention on mastery of mindset and learning how to focus. And we're going to address that a little bit later in the call tonight. But what I wanted is what I ended up getting. The result is what I say, it's you get your body back without hunger or working out like a maniac. Because when you get the food right, and when you get it right in your head, that is exactly what happens. So before I share how the shift from vegetarian to plant strong took place, let me pass the mic back to Natala to add anything she'd like to add to the shift to plant strong right here. Anything you want to pop in before I go on?
I don't know. I mean, like I didn't know some of your story. that was kind of interesting. And I'm more hung up on the Atkins vegan thing. Like, how does that work?
Well, I've got a really embarrassing story about that. I don't know if I maybe should hold that for the end. But did you ever do Atkins diet?
Oh yeah, no, that was what I did before I actually became plant strong. Mm. Every doctor I went to said that I should be on Atkins or South Beach. So I had rotated. Oh. Kind of between Atkins and South Beach. And now I know, because of everything I found out, that was what was making me a more fragile diabetic, which
Oh, because of fat. There you go. Well, I didn't do vegan Atkins.
It was making me a worse diabetic. Yeah. So, I mean, anyway.
Right.
So that's all.
Well, I didn't do vegan Atkins. It was vegetarian, so I was doing, like, cheese and, you know.
Oh, wow.
I was supposed to eat a ton of cheese and that. Anyway, so the shift for me to plant strong, even because I wanted to get to the really important shift out of the, even though those were big changes, to move out of the oil and the dairy made another big shift. And it's a really good story, and I find it inspirational to myself when I listen to it. It reminds me of how I got connected with that, turning the switch on that. So looking back, even though my diet improved in many ways that 13 years ago that allowed me to become on the road to being naturally thin as I'm experiencing it now, which the whole process has gotten clearer and easier. And at first, it was important just to improve the quality of my diet and eat enough, because I was in that mindset of, you know, under-eat to accomplish your goals. And if we get into restrictive eating, just to remind everybody on the call, like not eating enough and not eating on time, according to your hunger signals, you get over-hungry, you get what I call stored hunger, and our senses just go into overdrive looking for food. And that was a big problem for me, you guys, in trying to make this work. So that's why I always have to throw it in there. That's also eating behaviors as well as what you eat are important. And I like to use the term naturally thin because I believed all along, like I said a couple minutes ago, there was a way to become naturally thin in a way that would allow me to eat according to appetite. So that was my holy grail. I was looking for that. And it took me a long time to figure out how to be a good animal and do that. So let me tell you my major turning point. So I was vegetarian for forever, but the switch, that final switch was meeting Dr. McDougall a few years back, Dr. John McDougall. I was invited to attend this all-day physician seminar, and Dr. McDougall was presenting for several hours. And get this, he had a room full of cardiologists. So as you can imagine, they were all sitting in their chairs with their arms crossed, but he was wonderful. He's, you know, Dr. McDougall, he's just so matter-of-fact, and he tells it like it is, and he's very disarming because the facts are all there. And he had you know, all kinds of documents and images and studies and case studies and reports to really reinforce that long-studied benefits of a whole foods, low-fat, starch-centered diet. Oh, and you know, his book is coming out next spring. Does everybody on the call know that? You know that, Natalia, yes?
Oh, yeah.
So for everybody on the call, watch for it. It's called The Starch Solution, and Dr. McDougall is adamant about that title, about Starch Solution, and I know Natalia knows that story, too, because publishers told him he should not go with that name, because starch is a four-letter word in our culture, and no one's going to buy it, but if you've seen Dr. McDougall speak to this, he explains about our taste buds and digestive processes being perfectly suited and primed for starch, and at the last advanced study weekend, we had a biological anthropologist who did a whole hour and a half presentation about the shift of our amylase gene in the last 100,000 years to make us more starch digesters. As a matter of fact, he calls us starchivores. That was pretty cool. Anyway, back to Dr. McDougall. It really made an impact and an impression on me, that presentation. So I went home from that event, and oils and dairy were gone after that. And those two changes from what I was already doing with the vegetarian diet made everything absolutely fall into place. So it's each of these elements in combination that makes it possible to, as I said, eat according to hunger and fullness signals, which don't we all want that? Who wants to have to think about, should I stop eating now? You want your body to do it for you. And you can do that completely and maintain a healthy, leaner weight. So that is how I would call the big shift to Plant Strong happened to me, because I was kind of a plant girl for a long time, but I got more planty going along.
I like that.
Yeah. Okay, let me just real quick. I should go look here and see if there's any quick questions. Okay, let me pause, and we'll go on to our next section.
You can ask me anything. Ask me juicy stuff about Rip and the team, too, you know. I don't think they're on the call, so.
Okay, here's one. A question for Lanny from Lisa. Hi, Lisa. She said, you said that adding those two changes to what I was already doing with a vegetarian diet made everything absolutely fall into place. Can you go over what combination made everything fall into place means? Oh, it's the whole package of whole foods, plant-based, low-fat, no expelled oils, no dairy or other animal products. Everything has fiber in it, and you minimize everything else. So it really is quite simple. If you put your food through those qualifiers, all those beautiful fruits, vegetables, whole grains, the legumes, they all just pop up to the surface. That's it. So that's what I mean by putting it all together. Okay, shall we go on to the perfect lead into calorie density conversation? So yay. I'm going to turn it back to Natalia, get a sip of my tea. So would you tell us about your moments of enlightenment about calorie density and how knowing about that has been pivotal for you?
Oh, so this is kind of funny because when I started out making all these changes and everything, I mean, I got a lot of it. Like, I understood a lot of it. But I still had a really hard time with, like, what I call, like, vegan junk food, you know? Like, you know, I would see something was vegan, and in my head I'd be like, well, that's healthy because it says vegan on it, you know. I would kind of make these just unhealthy choices, you know, based on that. And I would try to figure out, like, why, you know, why I'd get really stuck, you know, like, especially with my weight loss and even sometimes with my diabetes, and kind of figure it out. And then I got to hear Jeff Novick speak, which if you haven't heard Jeff Novick speak, if there's any way that you can get to an immersion, or he's got his videos, for sale through VegSource.com.
And I think I've got some of them, too. Are you talking about the calorie density DVD?
Oh, yeah.
I had somebody buy one yesterday.
that little talk, and I think you can even Google it and find some, like, videos on YouTube, but that talk, it changed everything for me because he puts it so simply, and he put it, like, just, you know, he was talking about oil, and I could never really understand why I couldn't. You know, I knew it was bad, like, for my endothelium, and I knew it was bad for my diabetes, but I really didn't get, like, you know, was having a little bit of oil bad, you know, like, it was, you know, because especially with a lot of different people spreading myths and lies about oil, it was kind of confusing to me, you know. But then he put up a chart, and it was this really, really simple chart, and if you've seen Jeff's talk, you probably know what I'm talking about. I mean, it was kind of like a bar graph. Yeah, and it was just this bar graph, really simple, and at the very bottom of the bar graph, I think there's, like, lettuce, you know, and it's a little tiny, like, amount of calories per, like, pound. And at the top of this was oil, and it was 5,000 calories a pound, like, opposed to, like, 100 calories a pound for spinach or broccoli. And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense, you know, like, so I just need to eat things on the left side of the graph rather than the right side of the graph. And on the right side of the graph, there was nuts and oils and, I mean, as far as, like, vegan things. And, you know, on the left side of the graph, there's lots of, you know, healthier stuff, like all the greens and the beans and the fruit and, you know, things like that. And I was like, well, if I just stick to everything that's, like, you know, about mid and below, so, like, 500 calories and below, I'll be fine, you know, and it was just such a, I don't know, it was such a weird, like, little simple shift in my thinking that, and just, like, this mental image that I could kind of put in my head that, you know, like, spraying, you know, olive oil on a pan or something like that, like, that was going to add unnecessary calories to my diet that I just didn't need, like, and for me, like, I'm a volume person. I would much rather have, like, 10 baked potatoes than, like, 2 tablespoons of this.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about, yeah.
For me, like, I would much rather have, like, a huge bowl of oatmeal with fruit and a tiny bit of flaxseed than, like, you know, one fried potato, you know. Like, it was one of those things, like, and, you know, it kind of felt like more money in the bank, you know what I mean? Like, you get, like, you know, someone says you can
that's
either have, you know. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, all of a sudden, it was like somebody saying, hey, you can have $10,000 or $10, you know. And like, so it was such a simple,
well, where was it in your progression that you saw that? If you had that month, and then a month you were off of your blood sugar had changed and all that was changed, where in sequence?
This was, like, in the first 6 months, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I know I wasn't eating horrible before that. Like, I wasn't, you know, like, when I made the shift, I was still, you know, I was eating lots of, you know, beans and greens and all of that. But it wasn't, like, I was cheating a lot, you know, like, I was having,
and that adds up. That makes a big difference.
Yeah, and that, it was, like, the little snacks and the little, like, you know, I'll just have a bag of pretzels or, you know, that have, like, oil and all this other bad stuff. Or it's just, I'll have this little vegan, you know, sandwich from this, you know, from Whole Foods or whatever, you know, and, like, so it was these little things that were adding up, and I don't think I ever realized how those little tiny things were kind of adding up in a big way, you know, like, physically, too, you know, and how it was affecting my tastes and the way I thought about food, too, so.
So did you notice that you started to shift your weight more productively after you made that awareness and it worked its way into
your diet?
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, now definitely switching from, you know, from the diet that I was on, which was bad, like Atkins and South Beach, to even like a, you know, The Esselstyns call what I'm doing now Plant Perfect, and what Rip does, they call it's kind of confusing. They call it Plant Strong, and you know, so it's maybe not as perfect as what Dr. Esselstyn might do. And I would say I was more on the junk food end of Plant Strong. You know, like I was kind of you know, in the very beginning. So I would just do a lot more like treats and things like that, like unhealthy treats. And so I'd say in like the first 6 months, you know, like about 6 months after this, when I really started to understand like how caloric density worked and how it worked in my head. And I think, that was the first one. It was Jeff and just seeing this chart and seeing that, you know, just really simply that, you know, oil has 5,000 calories a pound and like spinach has 100. And I can eat a lot more spinach, you know, and get full and satiated than like oil, you know, and
yeah, just you don't have to think about it. That's exactly
no,
right.
No, exactly. And yeah. I can eat as much as I want of it, you know, and like even to know that I could have like, I think Jeff's one of his slides, it's like you can have like 6 baked potatoes with salsa or like 3 chicken nuggets. And I'm like, really? You know, and for me that I'd much rather have 6 baked potatoes with salsa than 3 chicken nuggets, you know. And so for me that was like, it was just a really big thing for me to understand that that I could eat. And I think especially as an obese person, I don't know if anybody else is obese that's called in tonight, but I think because of my obesity and because of how many diets I had been on in the past, you're taught over and over to control your portions. And like this is one of the hardest things still to this day for me to switch, is that I feel bad for eating big portions of food. Mm-hmm. And I'll feel guilty. Like I'll have like, you know, a giant plate of like brown rice and, you know, spinach and beans and salsa and vegetables, and it looks like I'm eating for like 6 people, you know. But before, like, I would feel really self-conscious for eating something like that because it would look like, well, you know, like I would be afraid of what people thought of me, or I would be afraid of what I thought of myself. Like, you know, wow, I wonder why I'm so big because I'm eating all this food. But it wasn't the big volumes of food that were the problem. It was what was in the small volumes of food that was the problem, which is,
you know, Natasha, I totally get that about that carryover from diet thinking. It's really insidious, and I referred to that already. Remember I said how I just was not being successful because I was using those subtle controls of, you know, stopping before and not quite filling up, and that's why the times before that I even tried the McDougal plan didn't work for me because I didn't get about the volume. Really need to, you say you're a volume girl, I'm a volume girl too, and I need bigger plates in my house. I don't know.
Yeah,
I bring down the plate to dinner and I go, honey, we need bigger plates.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody's ever seen an Esselstyn eat, like Rip or Anne or Essie. This is actually one of the eye-opening moments for me. It was the first time that I had, I think it was lunch with Rip, like it was at Whole Foods, and the amount of food that he was eating, like he was constantly eating, and I was like,
how inspiring. Yeah,
and I was like,
you know,
wow,
and that's
that
good.
Really fit.
Learning by example.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I can do here is there's a couple things I want to speak to, and I can do a quick for people who might be new to calorie density, real quick. And Natala's done a really great idea, a great way of explaining about the things on the left side of the chart don't have many calories per pound, and things on the right side of the chart she's talking about have lots of calories per pound. So on that continuum, if you put like fresh vegetables would be what she was referring to on the left side of the chart, and they have like about 100 calories per pound. So you're talking about leafy greens and, you know, bell peppers and all those kind of high water content. Dr. McDougall calls them perishable vegetables, which I think is that kind of a good way to differentiate them from the starches. And then fresh fruits are a little bit more caloric. They're like 250 to 300 calories per pound. Then starchy vegetables is 450 to 500 calories a pound, and that's right in that range that, Natala, you were just saying, you know, as long as you're in the 500 or less, and that's where potatoes are. That's why baked potatoes and sweet potatoes and yam are like the perfect slim food, and I had someone shocked yesterday when I said they are such a slimming food. She goes, what? I go, yeah, well, let me send you this stuff. Then you move up to legumes. They're 550 to 600 calories a pound, still very low. Processed grains, then, even if they're whole grain, are starting to jump up, 1,200 to 1,500 calories a pound. Nuts and seeds, about 2,800 or more calories a pound. And I have oils at around 4,000 a pound. You said 5,000, but frankly, what's the difference between 4,000 and 5,000? Once you get up to
that area, you're probably right, though. It's probably 4,000.
Yeah. So on tests that have been done with people eating, they found that if the calorie density of what they ate averaged below 400 calories per pound, no matter how much they ate, they lost weight. And then if it was between 600 and 800 calories per pound, even with moderate exercise, they still lost weight. But between 800 and 1,200 calories per pound in their diet, people would gain, except those with really high activity levels. That's why these, you know, that swimmer, Phelps, Michael Phelps, didn't he use like 8,000 calories a day or something?
Yeah.
And then
over
1,200 calories per pound, if your food is averaging over 1,200 calories per pound, everyone gained weight. So that means if you're pouring oil on your salads, no wonder you're having trouble with your weight. And, you know, you mentioned the cheating thing making a difference. I tell you, a few months ago I put it up. If anybody wants to write me, I'll refer you to this blog post. I did a true confessions. I said how I gained 2 pounds in 2 weeks, and then I lost them just as quickly. Because what had happened is we were on a trip, and I started doing those little, this is an interesting kind of sweet bread with those little tunnel of almonds in it. And I started having that for breakfast, and then we found this Dutch chocolate because we were on this Dutch, island, and they had this really good, that's kind of good. Maybe I'll have a piece of that. And you know what? In 2 weeks, it was 2 pounds, and I went back and looked. I said, how could that be? And I looked at what I had been eating every day, and it was easily 500 calories more a day by eating with concentrated foods, and that is 2 pounds in 2 weeks. It's not a surprise, folks. It's a surprise because we look back and go, I just had a little bit of this and that. But if I looked, I really could see where it was. So if you want a real clear story on how easy it is to happen, but then I dropped them and I lost those 2 pounds right away. So that's the beauty of this.
So
easy.
It's so easy to make those little, like Doug Lyle is my favorite psychologist who wrote The Pleasure Trap.
Yes.
I said on the last call, like if that's all you get out of my talk is just to get The Pleasure Trap, that's good. That's good enough for me. But he was telling me once that I think it's if you have two people of the same weight and one person eats one extra Oreo cookie a day and the other person doesn't, they just eat one Oreo cookie a day, over, I think it's 5 years, the one person will gain like 40 pounds more than the other
one
person,
Oreo a day.
One Oreo a day, which is not a lot of calories. Like this is not, we're not talking like,
like
you know, over 10 years, that's 80 pounds. So if you look at someone who's 100 pounds overweight, you can look at them and say, wow, that person, they just ate one extra Oreo a day for 10 years, and that's how they got to be 100 pounds overweight. I mean, which is such a, and like just to think about that little tiny adjustment in our brain that says, you know, that's the difference. And so we get people, I mean, on Engine 2, and I'm sure you get people on your site too, that ask, you know, I can't lose weight, or, you know, I'm doing everything right, and, you know, and
it's that Oreo cookie.
And it's just one little thing. Like it's maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not something blaringly obvious that you're doing, but maybe it's like just you're having a little too many walnuts. I mean, if something is silly and small, that can really make a difference in weight loss. And
that's a really good point. And that's where a food diary can be really helpful because people just don't.
Well, that's what I was going to say is if you're having trouble losing weight and if you're saying, you know, like you know, I don't know what it is. I mean, I tell people this a lot, like write down everything for a week, just for a week. Like write down everything that you drink, that you eat, that you snack on, everything that you don't think that you, you know, even if it's just one pretzel stick, you know. And then, you know, and then analyze it or send it to Lanny or send it to us, you know. And and we can go over it and say, hey, you know what, you did really great, but, you know, did you see this, you know, handful of pretzels that you had every day?
Yeah,
you know,
I would say that's it's really a relief. If someone else is out there thinking that way, then just, you know, do it. And usually it can be pretty spotted pretty easily. That'd be a good one for Q&A on the Engine 2 Q&A Tuesdays. Someone having trouble sending you food diary. Yeah, that's a great idea. So if someone wants to volunteer
that.
There's a couple questions here on the webcast. One is, Lanny, can you give an example of how nutrient density is important along with calorie density? Oh, okay, because nutrient density, you know how that's kind of making the rounds too. Nutrient density means there is a lot of nutrients per calorie as opposed to calorie density, which is lots of calories per pound. So nutrient density would be lots of nutrients in a certain amount of weight. So it's better to give it by example. Let's say you're trying to eat from that low, the 100 calories a pound in the vegetables, and you have two choices, romaine lettuce or iceberg lettuce. We all know iceberg lettuce is just like kind of water with a little green food coloring on it. So you're really not getting a whole lot of nutrients. But with the romaine or with kale, for example, the darker the color, the more you're getting the phytonutrition, which is those vitamins and minerals. That's where you really want a combination. You want to stay low on calorie density, averaged out, and you want to stay high in nutrient density.
Yes.
Here's another question, and maybe you can help with this one too, Natalia. It's from Judith, and she says, I have a hypothyroid condition. It's now getting under control, but I was told not to take any soy products. I have tried some of the recipes in Engine 2 diet and the new McDougall cookbook, but I feel that I need the tofu and soy products to feel full. Can you help me, please? Do you want to start with that one?
You don't have to do tofu. Actually, the Esselstyns would probably tell you not to, like Dr. Esselstyn would tell you not to do tofu, not because it's necessarily bad for most people, because it's got a lot of fat in it. And so what I would tell you is just fill it up with beans. Like, eat lots of beans. Like, and that's what I do. Is like when I need more that full feeling, I add lentils or beans or chickpeas. Those white beans, like white navy beans, are really filling for some reason to me. I would say, fill it. Put some more beans in it. I replace tofu with beans all the time. Like, in even our recipes for Engine 2 that call for tofu, I just use either white beans or whatever kind of bean I have in the house. So I would say that, like, just, pick a bean, another bean, that the doctors.
Well, that would be my suggestion, too. And I don't know if Judith has tried that or if she has a problem with beans, but another suggestion right along with what Natalia says is about the beans is I find that if I have like a lentil soup at lunch, that has like a 24-hour carryover effect. And sometimes building those things earlier in the day will really be helpful to you. And the other thing would be just eating enough of the other things too. So Judith, throw that around. If you have a follow-up question, you're welcome to, type that in now or get back to us after the call too. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just really quick something about nutrient density, and because it's something that Jeff Novick has been talking a lot about. And I would say, like, not to worry about that so much in the beginning. Like, just, if you just happen to like iceberg lettuce more than a dark green lettuce, I mean, my husband is like this. Like, he used to be very picky and choosy on his vegetables. It's okay. Like, you're going to have really great health benefits if you're sticking to the plant-strong foods that are, let's say, 500, the 500 caloric density and below. So I wouldn't, I don't know. Like, I think some people can get caught up, in the nutrient density thing, which is fine. It's, kale is great, collards are great. But I wouldn't say, like, if you don't like kale, if you don't like kale, then, you're out of luck, just find the things that you do like that are.
I agree with you 100%. And I think that part of it is our urge to overthink it is part of the problem. And part of it isn't our fault because we've come from this place, those of us who have struggled with something, whether it was weight or diabetes or, some kind of health concern, we have worked so hard to try to manage it and been frustrated and followed all these crazy, eat 2.5 grams of this and 1.76 grams of that. No wonder we're nuts. And we think it's got to be managed and controlled. But I totally, totally agree. I was just responding to the question about.
Totally agree with you, Seth, but I've heard so many people get like wrapped up in that stuff, and I'm like, if you're just eating vegetables, beans, fruits, and grains, and that's it, you're going to be fine. Like, I mean, even if, and I think a lot of parents, too, get caught up in that with their kids. They're like, they need a variety of all these things, and they really don't. Like, if your kid only likes, spinach, brown rice, peas, and corn, and a few other things, that's okay,
I love that. I'm really glad you brought that up. And I'm really glad to see your response on the nutrient density. Okay. Great.
Well, and your taste will change. Like, just give it time. Like, so if you don't like kale now, you might like kale in a year from now. But don't beat yourself up if you don't like, broccoli. Like, I hate red peppers. I don't know why. Like, it's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't beat myself up for it, even though that they're probably really, really healthy for me, But I eat green peppers instead.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's all. I just want to add that.
Perfect. Well, let's do this. Would you like to share some of your, you guys, I think we're going to go over a little bit on the call, so I'm good to go for a little bit longer if we need to, Natala. Can you stay a few extra minutes? Okay. Because we want to address the breakthroughs in psychology of weight loss. So can you share from your experience what has happened for you that might be helpful to someone else?
Yeah, well, okay. I'll try to say it as quickly as possible. So as I mentioned, I've been working with Doug Lyle a lot, who's the psychologist, Pleasure Trap. He's at the Engine 2 Immersions, and he's really great. And he's really cute and nerdy, too. So I gotta add that in case he's on the call. when I first started talking to Doug, I was constantly beating myself up about my weight and constantly, like, just getting myself in these, like, traps, and he calls them ego traps, but these traps of, like, wanting to be successful by a certain date or wanting to look different for, like, a party that I was going to or a reunion or, you know, or I wasn't going to, you know, people that I knew I was going to see, let's say, that I hadn't seen in, like, a year or whatever. And I would constantly get in these, like, really bad traps and beat myself up for not losing weight as fast as I wanted to or as fast as I thought I should. And I would get in these, I would kind of just feel really bad for myself because I really like food. I still really like food. You know, given the chance, I will eat.
Well, you
I will
should.
Eat that food
just being
too.
A good animal.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I was just constantly beating myself up, and especially for making some unhealthy choices. Like, you know, when I would have something that was like a vegan treat or things like that, and I didn't understand why I would do that to myself because I knew in my head that it was bad for me. You know, I knew that like, you know, like eating fried tofu was not a good idea, you know. And so I would beat myself up, and it would just be this endless kind of cycle, and I would go down this bad path of, like, you know, like I'd make one bad decision, and that one bad decision would lead into, like, 40 bad decisions.
Oh, yeah, just snowballs.
Yeah, well, and so finally, you know, after this kind of blew up, and I got really depressed about it, and I finally got on the phone with Doug Lyle, and Doug, you know, Doug kind of starts everything from, like, the beginning of time if you talk to him. So he talks about just our whole process of becoming, you know, of how we are human. And so he was able to explain to me that, and this is hopefully going to help every single person on this call that has ever had any problems with weight or still does. So he was able to explain to me that way back in our ancestry, that the people who ate just a little bit more food than everybody else, so the people who were in the tribe, you know, that just ate a little bit more calories and retained them well, were the ones who survived, right? So.
Oh, yeah, we're the survivors. We're
exactly.
The winners.
So let's say you had a really long boat ride, right, because you were going to get from, you know, your current homeland to a new homeland, right? And so you decide, you know, you're going to get up with your tribe on the boat, and you are the one that, you know, can eat a little bit more and retain a little bit more. Well, when you get to that new homeland, guess who's going to survive, right? It's going to be the people who can hold a little bit more weight and can eat a little bit more. And so that kind of gene history is what we have. So, I mean, what is really funny about it, though, is I always thought that because I was overweight, I was weak and I was, you know, this, you know, just kind of pathetic a little bit. And to find out, you know, when I was talking to Doug, he was like, oh, no. He's like, it's the opposite. You were some kind of warrior princess back in the day that could, you know, eat a little bit more pain. And so to all of you who are on the call who are a little bit overweight or maybe have struggled with your weight, you can rest assured that you're the ones who would survive if we all, like, you know, there was a big famine or we had to get on a boat and go to a, you know, new land somewhere. We'd be the survivors. So that's a good thing. But the problem is that most of us aren't going to experience famine. Most of us aren't going to get on a boat anytime soon. And I mean, some of us might want to, but move, you know, move lands at this point. So the problem is that there's high caloric density food everywhere, and that's the problem. And so our brains are way back in the day, like when our brains saw things that were higher in caloric density and said, oh, we should eat that because that's going to mean survival. Well, now we see that everywhere. Like, we're living in Las Vegas right now, and there's food everywhere. And so my little brain, my brain that, you know, goes back whatever centuries and, you know, in gene history, says, oh, my gosh, donuts. Oh, my gosh, fried whatever. And my brain says, oh, that's calorically dense. if we go into famine and starving right now, that's going to last me a few weeks, you know. But the problem is tomorrow the same foods are there. Well, that wasn't the case way back when. The case way back when was if there was high caloric density food to be had, then that you might not have it again for 2 or 3 weeks. So,
yeah.
I don't know if this makes any sense to anybody else, but for me...
It makes total sense to me, because what you're doing is you're giving us a reason for why we're drawn to those foods, and also why, you know what I call it? And what you just did is, I bet it happened for some people on the call. I bet there was a shift that happened that took all of the guilt away. Because what I do when people tell me that, you know, I say, you know what, you're not a handicap. At a handicap, I say, you got a good one, meeting your body.
Yeah.
You are the survivor. Yeah. Your body is primed.
Yeah. Well, and it made me, you know, it's funny because I started gaining weight when I was about 10. I gained about 100 pounds between the ages of, I think, 10 and 11 and a half. I've been obese for a very long time, and I've always felt bad about it, and I've always felt like there was something wrong with me, there's something wrong with my genes, and I thought, you know, I just had really bad genes, and that's why I was obese. And to find out that this wasn't the case at all, I'm obese because of gene history, but the gene history doesn't necessarily have to be bad. My gene history, you know... As you know, and Dr. Furman talks about this a lot, you know, the slower the metabolism, the better. That means you're going to live longer. So to find that out, though, to find out that me being overweight was in a way a result of something that was healthy a long time ago. Not healthy now.
Well, it's an adaptation for survival.
Right. It was just so helpful to me to know that this is something that is ingrained within me. And so if you're out there and if you felt guilty about weight gain, weight loss, you know, you struggle with it, you can know that that's something kind of ingrained into your brain. And it does. It's really hard to kind of switch that because we're programmed to eat high caloric density food from, like, you know, centuries of that happening in our past. So, and really this is the first century, I think you'd agree with this, this is the first century, and I would say even later, this is the first, like, last half of the century, that we've, like, really had this much food abundance. We haven't had this
before. Oh, I know, it's
before.
A big collision. It's almost like it's blowing up in our face.
Yeah, and so, I mean, like, even food sizes and portion sizes, even as late as, like, the 70s weren't, like, what they are right now. So I think, you know, if you know that you're fighting like a really big machine, you know. It's really hard, and it's, but it's not necessarily your fault. It's a lot of stuff that's, you know, just kind of built into us. And for whatever reason, that's what helped me the most, was just knowing that this was a part of me. Like, it wasn't something that was messed up with me. It wasn't something that was messed up with my genes. It's just normal, you know.
Yeah.
And I was able to kind of just take a sigh of relief and say, okay, this is normal. Now what am I going to do? And then really quickly since then, what I focused on every day, and this is where, I mean, that's a big part of the psychology of the weight loss stuff, but the thing that I focus the most on every day is simply just kind of aiming for a B every day. And what that means is I kind of, Doug Weil has this, he kind of gives every food a grade. And so fried dead animal flesh is like an F, and dairy is like an F. And, you know, he kind of goes up from there. And so, like, the stuff that I eat, beans, grains, vegetables, fruits, a little bit of nuts sometimes, those are like B's and A's. And so every day, that's all I aim for. Like, I just aim to kind of get a B every day, you know. I don't aim to be perfect because I know I'm not ever going to be perfect. And, you know, I make these little kind of tiny shifts every day rather than these huge, big shifts, like, I'm going to start a diet on Monday, you know, or I'm going to start running 10 miles a day on Monday, because that never works. So I'd rather say I'm going to start running or exercising 5 minutes a day every day, and I'll see what happens in 2 or 3 months, you know. And maybe that 5 minutes a day becomes, 10 or 20 minutes a day, you know. And so I say, you know, the biggest thing for me is just making small shifts, rather than these big monumental shifts. And so, and again, not everybody can, you know, if you're in a health crisis, you might have to reevaluate that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just say, you know, and I think with the new year coming up, I think one of the biggest things that people tend to trap themselves in is to say things like, I'm going to start playing strong on January 1st. Well, I think that kind of sets you up for disaster. So I think if you say, you know what, why not start tomorrow morning, like, or the next bite you take? Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be, like, some huge monumental thing. It can just be, like, you know, right, tomorrow morning I'm going to start by having a healthy breakfast, you know, and maybe for a couple of weeks I just have healthy breakfast, and maybe after that for a couple of weeks I'll have healthy lunches, and then for a couple of weeks after that I'll do healthy dinners, and before you know it, you'll have three healthy meals a day. So, I mean, it's, you know, so I think just making, like, kind of smaller shifts, like, rather than these, like, almost unattainable, like, cold turkey shifts.
And I think
it
partly depends on the person, too. Some people are do better off with a big change and some a smaller change. And I kind of polled my readers about that, too, like, which is you? And there seems to be a real split either way. But I just want to underscore what Natala has shared here with everyone about the importance of it really is quite a relief when we realize that it's a biology is driving us to want to have high-calorie foods and to also take shortcuts on moving around, because we're meant to conserve energy and we're meant to store energy as animals. But I always say our biology is not caught up with our technology. It's just too easy for it to all go awry. But really good that you underscored that. I tell you, this whole thing with motivation and psychology has really been a lot on my mind this week. I'm putting together a motivational guide of, like, top 10 motivational tools for health and weight loss success. And I'm going to be talking about it in my newsletter, so that's coming up. But the thing is primarily where I start with is that if you want to do any change, what you have to do is change your mind. And you just gave a really good way about changing our mind. That is something that actually is a switch that can be, you know, it's another, we had a lot of talk about flip switch and shifting gears tonight. When you get a little, it's like moments of enlightenment that you see that happens. It allows you kind of a doorway of looking at something differently. And when you change your mind, then you can think about changing your body and your life. So the trick is how to change your mind. And what I really like people to look at and be aware of is that our thoughts and our thought patterns, kind of like, you know what you were just talking about, Natala, about you get yourself in this kind of fuddlement about wanting to have something happen by a certain time, and then you'd get in this downward spiral in your thoughts. But our thought patterns are largely habituated. That means, like, they're a habit. And habits, as we all know, can be changed. But it takes commitment to changing them, and that takes effort. And effort is, I'm not going to kid you, it's a little bit of work. And change can be uncomfortable, even if we have habits of thinking and behavior that are really uncomfortable and causing us misery, kind of like you and your tuna melt, you know? I mean, that was making you miserable, but you had that habit of wanting that. Of course, there was some biology driving you too, but it was also, there's mental connections to going through these whole processes. And these are all habits, and we're used to them. So you can use specific strategies to make inroads on changing your thought patterns. And though it sounds really simplistic, it's a huge, huge help. So if we realize that our thoughts start to engender feelings, which then be connected with a habituated and thought and feeling process, and then we take an action that may be something against our better interest because we're just used to doing certain things a certain way, right? And then we get those same results, and it becomes a spiral. So I always say, what would happen if you practiced thinking different thoughts? So
I like that.
Yeah. And I just did I did a blog post this morning. If anyone wants to go by, I called it How to Create Your Own Healthy, Fit, Happy, and Hot Ripple Effect in 7 Days. And I talked about the ripple effect of, you know, doing one thing for one day, whether it's planning your exercise, planning your food plan, and planning your doing some positive mental activity too. If you do that for one day and then do it for 7 days, what you're doing is sending new messages. You're practicing new patterns of thinking and being, and they do have a ripple effect. It can be a challenge to get going, but once you do it, it just starts to change your life. So I'd invite people to go on over and read that if you'd like. I'll get a little inspiration there.
I was going to say on that, Lanny, really quickly, like what you just said about planning. I think that's actually probably the biggest key for me, and I don't think I've mentioned this before, is just I plan to be successful. And so in order to plan to be successful, I have to plan out my next day. And so that means I already know what I'm having for breakfast tomorrow morning. I don't have to think about it. I know what I'm having for lunch and dinner, too. I know how I'm going to exercise tomorrow because my clothes have already been washed. They're already in my gym bag. You know, like they're all ready to go. I have, you know, like I think that's another, just making it a kind of a habit in your life and just making it so, you know, your brown rice is already cooked, you know, you already have your beans cooked, they're in the Ziploc bags and they're ready to go. Like there shouldn't be a lot of hassle to making these changes, because if it's already planned out, like if you've got everything ready, and I play the violin, and they tell you as a musician, the best way to make sure that you practice is to have your instrument out. If you put your instrument away, you'll never practice. And so if my violin is out and ready to go, I'm practicing every single day. If it's not, if I put it in my case and I put it in the corner, I'm never going to practice. So if you've got everything, if you've got your tools in place, if you've got your, you know, your sneakers ready to go, you got your socks and your sneakers. I mean, I plan meticulously. So I have, you know, I have my water bottle ready to go. I have everything ready to go. So when I wake up in the morning, I know I'm having my oatmeal in the morning. I have it in a Ziploc bag, like measured out already. You know, I've already cut up my fruit and everything. Like, I'm ready to go tomorrow. Like, tomorrow I will be successful because I planned today. So I think, you know, just on a kind of practical side of things, just plan it out. You know, say, okay, tonight.
That is huge. That is absolutely huge. And this is a part of, like, building different habits. You are now in the habit of doing that, and it doesn't mean you love doing it every day, but it means that you are wedded to the results of being that prepared, and what a marvelous result you're getting from that. And you know what this is? This ties into self-respect and self-care. If you can do this for yourself, look what the benefit that you are getting out of that. And then your life is better, your relationships are better, everything works better, just because you put your oatmeal in a baggie, you know?
Exactly. But on that note, and the last thing I'd say about the psychology thing, and, you know, this is going to sound crazy to people, and I know people are super addicted. This might be the most addicted to anything that anybody is to put away your scale. Like, just put it away, and, like, you'll know if you're losing weight because your pants are going to get looser. You're going to, you know, you're going to feel physically different. But I think what happens is, you know, like, scales can fluctuate, and you probably know this, Lanny. like, scales fluctuate a lot, and so there'll be a day I wake up, and I might be 5 pounds heavier for whatever reason. Like, maybe I just didn't drink enough water, you know. Maybe I, you know, retained a little too much or something bizarre happened. And so, like, I'll weigh myself maybe, like, if I think about it, once a month. And if my pants aren't getting looser, then I'll be like, okay, I have to check, see how the scale is doing. But, like, don't get wrapped up in the scale, like, right now. Like, just get wrapped up in making plans to, you know, become more plant strong and to get some, like, movement in your life, whether it's walking or Lanny's fantastic stuff that she does. You know, but maybe just put away the scale for a little bit. You know, maybe put away the scale for the month of January. Like, make that your New Year's resolution, that you're going to make these changes without looking at a scale, you know, which can be a lot really scary, because I was addicted to the scale. I was weighing myself, like, 5 times a day, and it would make me depressed. Like, I'd weigh myself, and I'd be heavier, and I'd be like, well
then you have a glass of water, and you go up a pound. Yeah, I have something to say about the scale thing, too. And I think it does depend on the individual. I don't make a blanket thing on no scale or some scale, because I've been at both sides of it. I've been one of those people that hopped on like 10 times a day, honestly. I'm totally insane. And then I've been a person who, when I decided to start losing the weight, and you know what? I knew way back then that I wanted to chronicle my process. I wanted I really journal about what I was doing with the whole process of all these tools that now become, you know, what I coach. But I decided to come at peace with what was going on in the scale by not letting it affect me. And what I did is I learned to manage the anxiety that would present itself from that, and I successfully did that. And research actually says that people who monitor their weight actually are more successful long-term at weight management. That doesn't mean all people all the time. That means generally, it's through the research study, that's what came out. So I would say 100% for what you know about your own temperament, and that you are better off with the way that you are working it. That's really great for people to hear. But if someone out there is finding that weighing not more than, you know, definitely not more than once a day, maybe a couple of times a week is kind of helping you see what's going on, and that's working for you, that's fine too. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because I think there are some camps.
Yeah, since I would just say, if you're if you feel depressed after weighing yourself, like that might be a clue to maybe not weigh as much, you know, like if mm-hmm. you're, or if you're binging, like I would do this, like I would binge or eat really poorly after the scale would be like a bad number, you know? So
I know.
What you said, like, you know, just know yourself on that one. And like, yeah. you know, like, I mean, for me, like right now, I'm just like, my pants are looser every month, you know? So it's like, okay,
yeah.
I'm going in the right direction. Yeah. Pants are getting looser.
Oh, you're just doing so wonderful. You're such an inspiration. And I want to thank you again for coming to, I know you've got company and family and everybody around. And we have gone a little over time. So what I'm going to do is, yeah, we're at a little 15 after the hour. So just to recap, we went over our shift to Plant Strong and also talked a little bit about calorie density and some elements of psychology. And I should have this recording ready for everyone to listen to tomorrow. I know this is one, you know, I like to have these things in my car when I'm traveling, put it on my iPod. You'll hear things next time that you didn't hear this time. And I want to remind everyone there is another TOA class on Thursday. You can see that in on my website under the coaching section under Success Club. If you want to come for the tips for going Plant Strong in 2012, you got a ton of tips tonight though. And I want to thank our guests from Engine 2. I want to thank the Success Club, the Fit Dream Fusion, and everybody else who came onto the call. And most of all, I'd like to thank Natala for your transparency, your genuine nature, and what a joy it is to be your friend. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks to everybody else. And if you want to ask me any questions, or you know, I'm always on Facebook and Twitter, Engine2 Diet. But if you want to email me, you can email me at engine2family@gmail.com, and I'd be glad to answer as many questions as I can. So, but thanks again, Lanny. I really appreciate what you're doing and having these calls because they're awesome.
Yeah, oh, good. It, you know what? I see that a whole bunch of some other questions came in. So what I'm going to do is keep track of these, and we'll get back to them either through Facebook or in my Q&A at Engine 2 or on my blog. They always make good blog posts. So thank you, those of you who participated, and I'm sorry if we missed out on any last-minute questions here, but we will certainly address them one way or another. So once again, thanks everyone for coming to the call. This is Lanny Muehlrath and Natala Constantine signing off, and we'll see you come to our Facebook pages. That is a good place to stay connected, Engine 2, or I'm at lanny@facebook.lannymuehlrath. So easy to find us. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. Good night.